There's one layup a game with Zion where he goes and you're like, there's no way he's going to make this. And he does, because he's got that much touch.
Zion right back at him, he'll get to the rim, won't he?
He is playing right now. Zion's in the zone, but he's in the zone at the rim.
Those are the moments that are just like, that stand out to me.
Andrew Lopez covers the New Orleans Pelicans for ESPN, a job he got at the very start of the Zion era.
I just hope that I don't get desensitized to it and feel numb watching him do these great things, hopefully for years and years and years to come.
You probably think you know Zion Williamson, how he dunks, how he goes viral, how his body defies physics at just 20 years old. But unless you've been watching Pelicans games recently, you're missing the evolution of one of the most unique basketball talents ever, who's now dominating at point guard and forcing his team and the league to adapt. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, March 23rd. This is ESPN Daily. Andrew, thanks for joining me, man.
No problem, man. Just glad to talk about Zion at any time.
I am fascinated by Zion more than ever right now because I understand that he is one of the biggest names in the sport. He's one of the most compelling characters in the NBA. But it also kind of feels like he's been overlooked nationally this season. And so part of this is me trying to rectify that. But the other part of this is me trying to still see beyond the highlights. How would you begin to describe, Andrew, the season that Zion Williamson is having?
Efficient, because I think that's the thing that ultimately describes Zion in the best possible way, going back to his rookie year, going back to this year. I mean, this is a guy who this year alone has become the fourth youngest player to start an all-star game behind a couple of guys you might have heard of, Kobe, LeBron, Magic Johnson. I don't know.
Little familiar.
Yeah. He's got 20 straight games where he scored 20 points and shot 50% from the field. Only Shaquille O'Neal has had a longer streak in NBA history. Shaq didn't do that necessarily in his second year either. And then again on Sunday, he tied LeBron and Luka Doncic for the longest streak of 20 consecutive games before turning 21 years old. Again, Zion just finished game, 64 of his NBA career? So he is still in what we would typically think of in this time frame of a normal rookie season. And he's doing these things that are putting him next to all-time greats. That's kind of been the story of his career so far.
And on Sunday, Andrew, the Pelicans beat the Nuggets, this really good team. Zion had 30 points. He's having a great year. And it seems like all of this is coalescing around a development that started around mid-February. And I know for people who are NBA nerds, it was especially eye-popping. So what happened? What did you notice with Zion?
I'm going to take you back a little bit further than mid-February, January 27th. And the Pelicans are coming off a really bad two-week road trip. We see what I think is the start of Point Zion.
It's taken away by Zion. Can he keep up with it? Yes, he will. Showtime!
That game against the Washington Wizards, he has 32 points, but he brought the ball up the floor three times that game. It resulted in 7 points.
I tell you, people underestimate his quickness, his handle, and his agility.
That's pretty good per points per possession. Since then, they've started to give him the ball more and more and more. Now he's bringing it up 8, 10, 12, 15 times a game. One time last week against Portland, he brought the ball up 22 times, which was a season high for him.
Wow.
This Point Zion has really unlocked, I think, the next level of his NBA development. Since January 27th, he's averaging 4.2 assists per game. Before that, it was 1.9. His points per possession per second spectrum is in the top two or three of all players to bring it up in the last month and a half or so. It really allows him to see the floor better, you know, he was trained to be a point guard. He grew up being a point guard before he grew up into 6'6", 285 pound Zion Williamson that we know and see today. This is what he's done all his life, and now he gets to do it on the NBA level.
Yeah, the Pelicans with Zion Williamson running point have transformed into one of the best offenses in the NBA. I believe they had the best offensive rating in the whole month of February.
Yes.
And I was listening to friend of ESPN Daily, J.J. Redick, on his podcast, and he was talking to Zion on the pod, and he asked him about this new approach. And Zion seemed to say that the success of it, the degree of the success of it, had even surprised him.
I didn't know that number was that high, 15. I don't even think initially it was going to be that much. What got it that high was, I think, me and your two-man game. I love our two-man game. It's like one of the easiest things to be part of.
And Andrew, I just want you to sort of describe for people who aren't intimately familiar with the physics of Zion Williamson at point guard. What does this look like?
It's basically a star, and there's a gravity about him wherever he moves on the court. And he just takes defenders with him. He mentioned on the J.J. Redick podcast that the two-man game between him and J.J. works because if J.J.'s role guy goes to Zion, J.J.'s going to have a wide-open shot. It makes that defender have to make a decision, leave a shooter wide open or guard Zion. It's just hard to guard that many people at the same time, especially when Zion is so good at getting to the rim and scoring.
So for the uninitiated, non-basketball aficionados, basically what they're doing with Zion is they have him handle the ball. They have a teammate set screens for him. So, Andrew, that's like the opposite of what usually happens,
yes,
right? Your big man, let alone a big man that is as big as Zion is, they're not usually the guy who has his hands on the steering wheel when this action is unfolding.
Right. It's almost like the Pelicans figured out something midseason. And Stan Van Gundy, who has been in this league a long time, didn't really get a training camp with these guys because of the shortened offseason. It may take something where you figure it out in season and they just go, oh, that works. Let's keep running with it. And that's exactly what they did by Zion kind of putting that action there. Another thing that it does is if you're setting a guard to big screen and you're running that action, a lot of NBA teams, they'll switch it. And you can't do that with Zion because if you switch, as JJ put it on his podcast, I believe, you switch a 6'3 guy on a Zion, well, I'm pretty sure we all know what's going to happen next. He's going to the rim. So it puts the defense in a tough situation.
So Stan Van Gundy gets hired in October of 2020, and he's known as like an innovative basketball mind. So when Zion Williamson is in front of him, and this is like his most important chess piece, I actually want you to describe, Andrew, like Zion is 6'6", but when we say that he's big in ways that we almost don't really see in the NBA because there is a width, there is a breadth, there is a thickness to him. So just illustrate for us what Zion kind of is physically at this point in his career.
Yeah, he is a mass that is going to get to the rim no matter what. And I think one of the most impressive things that Stan Van Gundy has talked about that I have seen in covering Zion is when you think of a guy that size, you think of a guy who's 280, 85 pounds. Mm. And when they're getting to the rim, you're just expecting them to just bang, bang, get up, try to get a pump fake and just go up. That's
right.
Not Zion's traditional game. Can he do that? Sure, he could. But Zion floats in the air. There was a dunk on Sunday against the Denver Nuggets where he took off right from inside the dotted line of right below the free throw line. And you're like, okay, he's going to try to finish this with like a finger roll over somebody. And he just slams it.
Gives it to the right guy. How about that hammer?
And you're like, oh, that's right. This is Zion. He does these types of things. And then his second jump, it would be impressive for a guard, let alone somebody who's 284, 285 pounds.
I mean, the second jump, Andrew, is such a key term in NBA scouting parlance. Explain what the second jump is, because when I watch Zion's second jump, like, it's a jump that anybody would be lucky to have as their first jump.
Absolutely. So let's say he puts his shot up, and I'll use Rudy Gobert because they've had some good battles before. Rudy Gobert goes up to block his shot. Rudy blocks it or changes the shot at the rim. When Zion grabs the ball the second time, his jump to get back up and get his second layup, he's going to get up quicker than Rudy can reset. He's going to get up quicker than most NBA guys can reset. But his ability to get his own rebound and go back up so quickly to where the other guy may be still on the floor is what makes him so special.
Yeah, I kind of want our listeners right now to like try to jump one time and then try to jump again and then again and just see how exhausted you get. And what Zion is doing, Andrew, what you're explaining here is that as everybody else gets tired, this dude seems to defy physics. And this sort of physics equation around Zion, I mean, the concern from early on, I think, was that it was unsustainable. But the fact that he is doing this and seemingly, Andrew, not really showing signs of the injury that was plaguing him last year, what does that tell us about Zion right now? How is the injury situation playing into any of this?
My favorite Zion stat of the year so far is 32.8 minutes per game. And I think that might be the most important. No matter what else he does the rest of the year, I think that's the most important stat so far for him, is the fact that he hasn't had any restrictions. He's been healthy this year. And I think that when you look back on this, that's going to be the biggest thing, because when you're that big and you're generating that much torque, the maintenance that they are taking with him, the preventative maintenance, goes a long way.
Well, part of that maintenance, Andrew, that seems to get this inordinate amount of attention is Zion's weight. And as he continues to develop, as he continues to handle the ball more, how does his weight and his conditioning all factor in?
It was such a big thing in New Orleans that there was this rumor going around that Zion Williamson ordered chicken fingers at Commander's Palace, one of these famous New Orleans restaurants where you can get whatever you want, whatever kind of Creole food you want. And it was that big of a rumor. People have been obsessed with this since he got there. One of my biggest stories at the newspaper before I started working at ESPN was a question from, like, an answer from Zion telling him, "Hey guys, I didn't have chicken fingers at Commander's Palace. They were for my little brother." That did almost as good as any other story. That's how obsessed people in general have been about Zion's eating habits, his weight, his conditioning. But the conditioning now is going to be a key in how much point guard he can play. Stan Van Gundy has mentioned this so far. They love his conditioning. If they're going to play him at point guard more, point guard level conditioning in the NBA is a little bit different than regular NBA conditioning. And that's something that Zion will still need to work on if the Pels want to make point Zion a thing even more so than they already have.
So if a 300-pound dude like Zion can basically gummy bear bounce like this, here, there, everywhere, over and over again, where are we in terms of the trajectory of his potential as an NBA player, do you think?
I remember talking to a few people before his rookie year started, and they mentioned he's going to have to make a LeBron James level type of commitment to maintaining his body in order to continue on his trajectory. And if he does that, I could see him being a future MVP, being the guy to lead a team to a championship and go from there.
All right, coming up, how to build a team around this version of Zion Williamson.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
There's this weird dynamic with Zion, it feels like, Andrew, a little bit, because he is this engine of the NBA social media economy. He has 5 million followers on Instagram. He had 7 figures headed into college, but we're still kind of getting to meet him and discover him. And one of the things that you wrote about was this other sort of poetic, dramatic moment a few weeks ago after a close loss to the Chicago Bulls. Walk us through why that particular loss was so disappointing to him and what played out afterwards.
So that game against the Bulls, Zion, who has been a very good free throw shooter this year after he made a jump, he's up to over 70%. When you're getting fouled as much as him, you'd like to see that number be there. They played a game against the Bulls. It was one of those they should have won. Zion goes 8-for-16 from the free throw line. He missed his first 4, I believe, in that game, made a bunch in a row, and then missed his last 2. And those were the ones that really stuck out.
You know, I really felt like I let my team down, man. I never want to let them down. And, you know, all those free throws, it can't go down like that. I got to be better in that situation.
After the game, 5-10 minutes after the game, Zion comes back out for not just a regular free throw session, but Zion was on the court shooting for 40 minutes. He had to make 10 free throws in a row, and he couldn't move until he did that. And then he went to 7 different locations on the perimeter and had to make 5 three-pointers from there.
Right after the game, I just felt like I had to go back on the court and, you know, find my flow.
But to speak to who Zion is, they're walking off the court, and the ball boy who was helping him wanted to shoot threes, and Zion rebounded for him for a couple of shots. I mean, that's who he is right now, but he's also still a 20-year-old kid.
But what you're describing here in terms of getting to be the leader, getting to be the best player on a championship team, there is a lot more growth that Zion needs to have happen here. Where does he need to improve to elevate him from all-star to like that first team, all-NBA, MVP caliber kind of contender?
This is defense. That's the only answer to this question. He has to improve on the defensive end. There were people when he came out of the draft that thought he was not only the best offensive prospect in the 2019 draft, but the best defensive prospect in the 2019 draft.
Andrew, I still have that one block, that iconic block when Duke played Virginia in 2019. I still have that playing on a loop in my head, basically.
Kick open again is Hunter. Never mind. Zion Williamson with other ideas.
That is called a recovery.
And he starts from the other side of the lane, I think, on that play.
Yes.
How many guys his size could run that far, jump that high, block a shot, and not commit a foul? Mr. James, King James.
Mr. LeBron James.
He was doing that to lottery picks. And there's whole clips of his defense at Duke. And I do think the knee injury that started his NBA career set him back. He wasn't able to do the things that Zion could do, that he had done in the past, where he could have that sort of speed. And I think the speed is another thing where it took him a while to adjust to the NBA game. You can see him at times where on defense, he'll get lost in a rotation, or he thinks he can get someplace and just can't get there because, you know, an NBA guard is a lot faster than some guard from the ACC. He's taken incremental steps on that end, but for him to be the guy to kind of lead the Pelicans to a playoff berth, to home court advantage, to, you know, a conference finals, an NBA finals, he has to take a step up defensively. The smaller things he can do, if he can get just a 13, 14, 15-foot pull-up where he's getting that in consistently, I think that adds just a completely other level to his game. The three-point shooting, I think, is a thing that will come. Obviously, he hit the 4 against San Antonio.
Zion for 4-for-4! Welcome to the NBA!
They would love to see Zion let these things fly more often. they absolutely would do that, and he's working on it. But Zion feels that if he misses a shot, he's wasting a possession.
I've shown the ability to hit the shot, but there are times where something in me is just like, I know I can shoot it, but I'll just try to drive because I feel like maybe I can create a better shot. I don't ever want to feel like I wasted a possession for my team.
Zion knows if I'm shooting this good at the rim and I'm only shooting 35 from three, I probably should try to get to the rim. Good things it's are going to happen down there.
It's hard to argue with that logic when you put it like that. And that raises the question then, Andrew, if Zion Williamson is attacking the rim as he can do as well as anybody that we can remember, honestly, the question is raised as to, well, who is out there with him on the court helping spread the floor? Who are the other people that he can turn to if the paint gets clogged? And this team seems to be in a particular state of flux, Andrew, is that the word that you would use? How would you describe where the Pelicans are as a depth chart right now?
Flux is a really good word to describe the depth chart, especially as we approach the trade deadline this week. It's a team still trying to figure itself out. And I think Point Zion has kind of put that even more in flux because now you've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands. Maybe you don't need to have a traditional lineup around him moving forward. And I think that's the job that David Griffin is tasked with, is trying to figure out what the best lineup around Zion going forward is, knowing that this is now part of his skill set. I do think you have one solid foundational piece alongside him and Brandon Ingram, who made the All-Star team last year. So you have your two All-Stars. Now it's, okay, what's the next step around these guys? How do you build a roster around a Zion who is cutting and ball handling and playmaking the way he is right now?
And the person then, given that breakdown you just gave me, the person who should be most ready to maybe change employers would be Lonzo Ball, who is a point guard. He is a point guard with a particularly outspoken father, who you may have heard about as well, who just went on sports radio and said a couple things of note about wanting Lonzo out of there.
Do you want Lonzo to stay in New Orleans? Do you think that's a fit him for the Pelicans? Really?
No, he can't stay in New Orleans, man. Come on, man. Come on. Why are you trying to change him into a defensive specialist that stays in the corner and shoot threes?
How do you see the trade deadline playing out for New Orleans, Andrew?
I think it's one of those things that is going to go down to the wire. I could see, you know, J.J. Redick, who is dealing with a heel injury right now, maybe having played his last game in New Orleans. Bledsoe, I think, is going to be another name that they talk about. It's going to be maybe harder to move him right now. I could see them trying to do something with Bledsoe in the summer.
And that's another, in Eric Bledsoe, a point guard, shooting guard combo guy who maybe feels a little more redundant if Zion Williamson is running point.
Exactly. So it kind of goes back to Lonzo here. It's the perfect kind of guy that you'd want around Zion, a versatile defender who can take on the lead guard on whatever team they're playing, who can spot up and still be the full court, launch these 50, 60-foot passes to Zion.
Zion! I don't want to pass. That is almost a full court lob, man.
It's one of my favorite things of the last year and a half is watching Lonzo Ball throw 50-foot oops to Zion with this precision. It's been fantastic.
Ball at it again. That one even more ridiculous.
If they got a strong enough offer for him right now, I could see them moving it, but Zion likes him a lot. Brandon Ingram obviously likes Lonzo a lot. It's going to be, I think, a thing that goes up until the deadline.
So right now, Andrew, I'm looking at the research that our friends at 538 have done. They're giving the Pelicans this season about a 19% chance of making the playoffs this year. They're currently 11th in the Western Conference, which obviously is full of teams that believe themselves to be contenders. What does success look like this season?
If you would have asked me this before the season, I would have said making the playoffs. Now I think it is more of figuring out or having a better picture of what's going to fit around Zion and Brandon Ingram. that's what you need to do with this season. Because next year, I think, is when the pressure comes on. Next year is, okay, this is Zion's third year. We're paying Ingram max money. Now we need to see a jump. Figuring out the pieces to all of that and putting a better team on the floor next year is what I think success is to me at this point right now.
Andrew Lopez, our man in New Orleans, our man on the Zion beat. I have a feeling we'll be talking to you again before too long.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay, up next. A sports legend leaves his lane after 41 years. And we spare no love in paying tribute.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. The most famous bowler of all time never intended to say one of the most iconic lines in sports history. In fact, Pete Weber later explained, what he'd actually wanted to declare at the 2012 US Open was this.
But what I really wanted to say was, who do you think you are rooting against me? I'm the man of this tournament.
But instead, Pete Weber had become so agitated by a young heckler in the audience that when the moment of truth finally arrived and Weber was about to become the first man to win the US Open five times, beating his father's record and becoming the tournament's oldest winner ever at 49 years old, it all came out sounding, of course, like this.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Pete Weber bowled the final frame of his tour career last week at age 58. He is a Hall of Famer with 100 trophies and a history of crotch chops. And it will surprise absolutely nobody that he has been an enormous fan of professional wrestling this entire time. For decades, Pete Weber has been the face of the Professional Bowlers Association and its biggest heel. He didn't just say stuff like, "Who do you think you are? I am." He wore sunglasses, he won, he cursed, he posed, he heckled hecklers. Real and possibly imagined.
Got it. It's called sportsmanship, pal.
God, I wish we knew who he was talking to.
Somebody's been watching over there trying to figure out who it is, but I can't. I don't know who it is he's talking to.
One time, Weber even flipped double middle fingers at a press conference. He was basically cutting a promo about refusing to surrender to the young bowlers on the national PBA tour and refusing to hang up his shoes and retire. But now, after 41 chaotic years, Pete Weber has announced that he's doing exactly that.
This is really hard, guys. It's really hard. Because it's hard to grasp that I'm done. I've just realized that I'm not as young as I used to be. I can still hit the pocket with you guys, but I can't strike like you guys because I don't have the power. And it takes a lot to realize that. So this is my last hurrah out here. And like I said, it's just been an honor and privilege to be here. So thank you very much.
The vulnerability in that quote just now, that is what was most surprising to me about Weber's retirement, because the rest of us, we're supposed to be vulnerable and insecure and mortal. That's who we think we are, not who he is. But as Pete Weber once answered himself, I am. I am Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.